Our 16th class in Bhajan Rahasyam, all about this separation mood. And yesterday we did verse 22 from this chapter 7 of Bhajan Rahasyam, how Krishna was revealing his heart and mind to the gopis of Kurukshetra, how he missed them so much, and how he was praying to the deity of Narayan in his temple in Dwarka, that he would make arrangements so that Krishna could meet the gopis every night. And we heard about how much separation and pain the Brijvasis felt when Krishna left. Now finally they're all meeting again at Kurukshetra. And Krishna's meeting with the gopis and revealing his heart, opening his mind. What is that? Guyak? This is Tadati Pratigrinati Punkte Bojayate Cheva. Revealing the mind and confidence. I forget, you know that? Guyati. Revealing the mind and confidence. So Krishna's in great confidence and trust with the gopis, he's revealing his mind. This is text 23. So again, Krishna is trying to solace the gopis and give them some consolation. And he's preaching to them more. This is text 44, chapter 82. This verse explains how one attains Krishna through love. Mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amritatvaya kalpate dishya yat asin matsneho bhavatinam marapana. Sakis, it is greatly fortunate that you have developed prema for me, by which one can attain me. Loving service unto me qualifies living entities to attain my supremely blissful eternal abode. Amate ye prema bhakti parama amrita tavasnehi nirva Vadi Tava Dasya Rata. There's a commentary here about the same idea. This verse, of course, commentary in the verse. In this verse, Krishna is telling the gopis that, O Sakis, it is greatly fortunate you have developed prema for me. By that prema, one can attain me. Loving devotional service unto me qualifies living entities to attain my supremely blissful eternal abode. Sounds like a very redundant statement to speak to the gopis. If you attain Krishna prema, you can go back to Godhead. If you go back to Godhead, then you can get Krishna's eternal. You can get my eternal association. I said, "What are you talking about? We've come from Vrindavan. We were there. You were there with us for 11 years, and we were with you every day and every night. And what is this philosophy you're telling us now?" The commentary. After a long separation, the gopis met Krishna at Kurukshetra. In a solitary place, Krishna consoled the beautiful lotus-eyed gopis of Braj. He embraced them and kissed them and wiped the tears from their eyes. And he inquired about their health and well-being. It's interesting, he hadn't seen them for 50 years, but after 50 years, it was as if that 50 years was just a frozen moment in the kunja, or an absent moment. You're sitting with the gopis and you look, some bird is there, and you look to the bird, then you turn back and see the gopi. A momentary separation. Because when Krishna came and met them at Kurukshetra, in a lonely place, away from all the elephants and horses and relatives and senapatis and kings and generals, and all the big noise of that place, immediately he was acting just like Krishna in Vrindavan, speaking very sweetly, embracing, kissing, using the edge of his cloth to wipe their tears from their eyes, and asking about their health and well-being. He was dealing with the Brajagopis in a very intimate and very sweet and loving and charming way, as if he was still in Vrindavan, and still with them, directly in the mood of Vrindavan and Brajabhav. O Sakis, in this long separation, have you remembered me? You are convinced that I am ungrateful, but you do not consider me cruel, do you? Without a doubt, Bhagavan is the cause of the living entities meeting and separating. Just as blades of grass, cotton fluff, and granules of dust meet and again separate due to the wind, Sometimes some cotton floats in the air and some blades of grass and some dust and just a little ball of dust and cotton. They're blowing through the air up and down here and there. And they're all gathered together, and then the wind, big gust of wind comes and breaks apart that cotton ball. And the cotton goes one way and the grass, blades of grass go another way. And dust here and there. Similarly, everyone meets and separates according to the desire of Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. If you say, I am that Ishvara who arranges meeting and separation, then there is no reason for your sorrow, because by good fortune you have achieved that prem by which I can be attained. Devotion performed unto me is capable of giving living entities the eternal supreme abode. Krishna's preaching. But your loving affection for me makes me unable to be far away from you. Rather, it attracts me to you. So Krishna is saying here, there's some difference between gopi prem and ordinary Bhagavan prem. Bhagavan prem or Vaikuntha prem, it enables the living entity to go to Krishna or go to Vishnu, Narayan, and Vaikuntha to attain the spiritual world. But Braja prem, gopi prem, forces the spiritual world to come to the gopis, forces Bhagavan, Krishna, to come to the gopis. This is Sri Krishna Karshani, Sankarshani. This is the symptom of prema that attracts Krishna. Usually, this is Braja prem. These are six symptoms of Braja prem. Usually, generic Vaikuntha prem will forcefully bring the sadhana siddha, the sadhaka, to Vaikuntha. Dharm art ka moksha. He will attain Vaikuntha prapti. He will attain Vaikuntha. He will go back home, back to Godhead. He will go to the spiritual world and get Sharsti, Salokya, Samipya, Srupya, Mukti. He will go there. And there he will meet Narayan. There he will serve Narayan. There he will enter the spiritual domain. But Braja Prem, Gopi Prem, is such that Krishna runs to them. Krishna holds their feet on his head. And Vaikuntha, the devotees, hold Narayan's feet on their head. Lakshmi holds, the devotee, the Premashraya, Lakshmi Devi, holds Narayan's feet on her head. But in Braja Prem, it's so intense and so compelling and attractive, it forces Krishna to run. As Prabhupada says in one purport in the Krishna book, the love of the Brijbasis makes Krishna a dancing doll, doll, D-O-L-L, in the hands of the gopis. Like a puppet, guy moves the strings and the puppet moves. So the gopis love, their intense devotion makes Krishna dance, makes him sing, makes him run, makes him move. Run to Avisar to meet with them. So Krishna knows that, and he's saying it here, that your love is such that I can't remain far away from you. It attracts me to you, Sri Krishna Karshani. This is your prem. This is six symptoms of prem, Braja prem. I run to you. I've come here from Dwarka. It's only a pretext of a Surya Grahan, of a solar eclipse. On the pretext of the solar eclipse, I left Dwarka in West India, the farthest region of West India, Dwarka, and I've come all the way here to Kurukshetra in UP. It's a long way to go by horseback and chariot. I have not come here to purify myself by Pancha Samantika or whatever it is, Samantika or Pancha Samantika, these five lakes. I have not come here to counteract the inauspiciousness of this solar eclipse, which possibly even the Earth planet can get destroyed during such a calamitous situation. When the sun is eclipsed, there is actually some threat that the Earth planet may leave its orbit and become crashed, to another planet and annihilated. So people, fearing the possibility of extinction, they usually enter a sacred river and chant Hari Bo, Hari Bo, or Narayan, or Durga, or Ma Durga, or something, to connect with the Rishtadev, to protect themselves from the possibility of a global calamity, which is possible during eclipse, very negative time. But no, I've not come here. I've ostensibly and principally come here to Kurukshetra to meet you. because this was an all India eclipse. This is not a small eclipse visible only in Bombay or visible North India or South India. This eclipse was visible all over India and was directly affecting India. And this type of eclipse happens every 14,000 years or whatever it is, 27,000 years. It's a very rare eclipse. Every year there's two or three solar eclipses. Very, very rare solar eclipse. Very, very dangerous. And that's why everybody was there. I mean, everybody was there. It's like a big Woodstock festival or something. I mean, the Brijbasi, the villagers went there. And usually villagers don't even go, they don't go out for anything. But it's a type of mela that you wouldn't want to miss. It was like, be there or die. So everyone went to Kurukshetra. It was a massive gathering of Indians from everywhere. It wasn't just Krishna, the Brijbasis. Everybody was there. So knowing, Krishna knew that they would be there, so then he went there to meet them. He said, I've come here, your love has attracted me here. I'm not attracted by the solar eclipse. I'm attracted by Vrishabhanu Nandini, Radha. The power, the brilliant sunshine of Radharani's life, the brilliant sunshine emanating from Radharani's heart, that is what is attracted me to Kurukshetra. Because in her separation, that was my eclipse. I was experiencing a solar eclipse during the last 50 years in Dwarka when I did not see Radharani. I was experiencing the extreme negativity and inauspiciousness of not having the darshan of Vrishabhanu Nandini Radha. So I'm coming here to Kurukshetra not to celebrate the solar eclipse or not to counteract the negativity or inauspiciousness of a solar eclipse by doing yajna or entering the Pancha Samantaka and chanting sacred mantras to purify or protect myself from the calamitous situation of this solar eclipse, which is visible all over India and affecting the entire subcontinent. And as I told you, this solar eclipse only happens once every 27,000 years. Such a great one. But I have come here, I've already been eclipsed. I've been suffering in the eclipse of your separation. I've been suffering in the inauspiciousness of the darkness and eclipse of your separation. So I've come here to bathe. Now, coming here and seeing you, Vrishabhanu Nandini Radha, now I see the full shining of your heart and the full effulgence and beautiful rays of your prema are bathing my face and heart. So now I feel that I've come out of the eclipse, that Rahu has swallowed me. Who is Rahu? The Rahu, Viraha Rahu, the Rahu of separation. Rahu swallows the sun planet, and it's called eclipse. Rahu comes between the sun and the moon, that's what they say, what we say he swallows the moon, and that becomes a lunar eclipse, Chandra Grahan. But I have been swallowed by the Rahu of separation from you. I have been eclipsed by the god of separation. And now I'm seeing you in this battlefield, future battlefield. I'm seeing you in this dharmic kshetra. And the highest dharma is to have your love, to be with you. This is the highest dharma. So that's why Krishna is saying, I've come here to see you. In his Krama Sandarbha commentary, Jiva Goswami says, through the practice of sadhana bhakti, the living entity can attain the dham of Bhagavan according to his desire and constitutional nature. Being pleased with such devotees, Sri Krishna accepts their service. The sneha, rag, anurag, and mahabhav of the Brajagopis assume the highest excellence, and therefore Sri Krishna is controlled alone by the gopis. Pure devotional service and affection, which are endowed with possessiveness, attracts Sri Krishna. One should understand that affection for Bhagavan is the topmost way to attract him. Krishna speaks, O Sakis, the sky and the other four primary elements are in all material objects in their beginning, middle, and end stages. Similarly, I exist in the beginning and end of all objects, inside and outside of them also. I am therefore never separated from you in any way. You are suffering from a false pain of separation due to a simple lack of discrimination. Your bodies and life airs are all situated in my sarup. Try to realize this truth and meditate in your hearts as the yogis do. Then your pain of separation will be removed. So Krishna is very expertly preaching some yoga vashishta, some meditation, which the gopis don't appreciate very much. Upon hearing these spiritual teachings from the mouth of their pranvalab, Sri Krishna, the gopis began to reply. Their lips were quivering in anger, born of their intense affection. Oh, Nalina Nabha, one whose navel is shaped like a beautiful lotus, you want to please our hearts and comfort us and console us by instructing us in Bhagavat Tattva Gyan. However, this knowledge does not enter our ears. It falls on deaf ears. We are already engaged in relishing the unlimited beauty of your form through our eyes. Where is the time to hear all these tattvas? Is Krishna speaking all these tattvas for them to listen to and hear and then consider and meditate on? But at this moment that the gopis are finally feasting their eyes on Krishna. It says he's a Nayanotsav, he's a festival for the eyes. So at this moment, as is described Madhurya Kanambini at the level of prema, which the gopis are deeply absorbed in, all of their senses have become eyes. Their eyes are eyes, their nose are eyes, their tongue is eyes, their ears are eyes, their sense of touch is eyes. All their five senses, Gyanendriya, Karmendriya, they've all turned into eyes. And they're drinking the form of Krishna with their ears, they're tasting the form of Krishna with their tongue, they're touching the form of Krishna with their hands, they're smelling the form of Krishna with their nose, they're seeing Krishna. So all of their senses have turned, their ears have turned into eyes, their nose has turned into eyes, their mouth is their hands. And then Krishna is speaking, they're deaf. If you plug your ears, can you hear anybody say anything? Can you hear with your eyes? I mean, we're not Krishna. Angani yasya sakalen. So the gopis are in Naralila. They're just gopis. So they can't, every sense that they have is turned into eyes to perceive Krishna and drink this beautiful darshan through the cups of their eyes. As we can't hear what you're saying. We're totally absorbed in seeing your beautiful form. That is like hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. We can't hear anything. We can't speak anything. We can't touch anything because everything. We don't have ears anymore. Our ears have become eyes. We don't have nose. We don't have mouth. It's all eyes. Like Indra with his body covered with eyes, thousands of eyes. So they're like this. All eyes are on you. Sometimes they have expression like that. Everyone's watch. Don't you see? Everyone's watching you. You're making a fool of yourself in some public assembly or whatever. He's all eyes are on you, or everyone's watching you. So all the eyes of all the gopis were simply riveted on Krishna's form and couldn't go anywhere. And they're saying, what is all this Bhagavat Tattva Gyan you're trying to inject into our ears? See you by meditation and think of you, and if even though you're far away, you'll see me in your hearts. We're seeing you right now, Sakshat, directly, and every part of our body is seeing you. And that's all we care about. We don't. What is all this philosophy? Whatever you're trying to convince us to attain, whatever you're trying to convince us to do or accomplish, we've already done it all. We've already attained it all and accomplished it all just by looking at you and absorbing ourselves in your darshan, Krishna darshan. You're giving us Bhagavad darshan. Bhagavad darshan means philosophy. The word darshan means philosophy. You're giving us Bhagavad tattva darshan. Are you giving it Bhagavad darshan? They say there are sad darshans of India. There are six philosophies or truths or tattvas of India. Sad darshan. You're trying to give us Bhagavat tattva gyan so that through that darshan, through that philosophy and meditational practices, we can see you in our hearts. But we're already having sakshat darshan, which is far surpasses your darshan, your philosophy. What would you rather do? Would you rather see food or would you rather eat food? What would you rather do? Look at food or eat it? Eat it. It's much more nourishing, much more satisfying, much more. That's the obvious answer. So And the gopis are saying, you're preaching darshan, philosophy, as a way to seeing you, but we're seeing you directly. We're not seeing you through philosophy, seeing you through meditation. We're seeing you eye to eye. Direct, sakshat, direct. That is much more satisfying. Would you like to see a picture? Would you like to see a picture of a pretty girl or see a real pretty girl? See a real pretty girl. So. The same way. And so Gopi is saying, what are you saying, Nalina Naba? So they even address him. They just talk. They say, we're talking about your belly button. They didn't say, oh, great philosopher. Oh, great tattvagyani. Oh. They say, hey, listen. Nalina Naba. Nalina Naba. We're talking about your physical body, your transcendental body with that beautiful navel. We know what your navel looks like. Our eyes get lost there in the whirlpools of your navel. And your navel is like the beautiful blossoming of a lotus flower, like a blue lotus flower. We're seeing that, and this gives us the supreme exhilaration, the supreme happiness and absorption. Forget about your meditative tattvagyan. You want to please our hearts by instructing us in Bhagavad tattvagyan, but this knowledge doesn't even enter our ears. We are already engaged in relishing the nectar of your beauty through our eyes. Where is the time to hear all your tattvas? We don't have time to hear all your darshan, your philosophical darshan, because we're totally absorbed in your darshan. We don't want to hear your darshan. We are absorbed in taking your darshan and seeing you directly. We don't want to see you indirectly through philosophy. Philosophical darshan is indirect observation of the object. But sakshat darshan is direct. Another meaning, Vishnu says, this word nalina, naba, can be taken to mean that the Braja gopis are insinuating, oh Krishna, a lotus has grown from your navel. This is a good thing. But just as the root of the lotus is connected with water and mud, your intelligence has also become muddied because the stem of the lotus is grown from your navel, but if you go down to where the base of the lotus is, where the roots are, it's in the mud. That's why lotus is called pankaja. Pankaja, ja means birth, origin, and panka means mud. The mud, the black, muddy, fermented mud on the bottom of a lake, this is where the roots of the lotus are grounded, are fixed in. And they absorb their nutrients and power there and drawn up through the stem, which passes through the water. And then they're fed to the beautiful lotuses shining in the air and sun. They're saying that, yes, you're Nalina Naba. A lotus has sprung from your belly. That's nice, beautiful lotus. But where is the origin or the source of the lotus? In the bottom of your belly button, which means you. And it's all muddied and soiled. You should give these instructions to ignorant people, not to us. Does one give the food of animals to human beings? Now you are claiming to be Bhagavan. But if Brajvasis hear this, you will become a laughingstock. They will all laugh. Please give this Gyan Yoga to profoundly intelligent yogis. So the gopis are saying, listen, you know, we're not that smart for all this tattvagyan you're giving us. We really can't meditate. Or the gopis are saying reproachfully, Krishna, we have heard from Purnamasi that Brahma was born from the lotus emanating from your navel. By associating with Brahma, who's a big jnani, I think your intelligence has also decreased. Yasya yat sangati pumso manivat syat. Satadguna, this is a phrase, aphorism. A person develops the qualities of the company he keeps, just as a crystal, which is manivat, reflects the color, takes on the qualities of those objects which are placed next to it. A crystal, of course, is a piece of glass with so many angles, and it's clear glass. If you put some red object next to it, then that red color is reflected in all the prisms and facets of the crystal, so the crystal appears to be red. Well, the crystal is actually clear by its constitution, but being next to this red object or blue object, it absorbs that the rays of that color. Red color is simply some vibration, rays of vibration, and they're passing through the air, and those vibrations and rays, they mix in the prisms of the crystal and reflect that red light throughout the body of the crystal to make that crystal look like it's red. This is the science behind crystal reflection. So when we associate with a very advanced devotee, then the color of his heart becomes reflected in our heart, depending on how clear our heart is. If our heart is full of immense pride and immense anger and other things, we may be next to, so our heart is very, let's say, not very clear. So we may come next to a devotee whose heart is pure, free from all pride, free from all anger, but that can't be reflected in our crystal because our crystal is all covered with mud. You might have a crystal which has that capacity to reflect the neighboring color. If you drop it in some Radhakund mud, and it, which is of course nice, but it becomes totally black, and you put that crystal which is covered with black mud, you put it next to a red object, obviously the reflective or prismatic characteristics of that crystal will be unseen. So therefore the conditioned soul, in order for him to really fully take advantage of an advanced devotee, he has to become somewhat purified himself. As they say in English, it takes one to know one. And the more, but nevertheless, still there's some reflections going on, and that's why by good association we gradually become good. Some mud melts off and gradually the crystal of our heart starts to take on all the good qualities and reflect the complete percentage. That's why pure devotees make other pure devotees. Bhava bhaktas make other bhava bhaktas. Premi bhaktas make other premi bhaktas. So when a conditioned soul associates with the premi bhakta in a genuine way, in a humble way, in a submissive and surrendered way, and the more he surrenders, the more humble he is, and the more dedicated he is, the more quickly he becomes purified, and the more quickly he reflects the qualities of his association, and the more quickly he attains the prema that's in the heart of that advanced devotee. I've seen, and we've seen, that some devotees that are with short time with their gurus, and they make tremendous advancement because of their own surrender, their own dedication, their own humility. Just really, the reflection comes on really fast. And others, too, to intense pride, intense coverings and conditionings, they're around for years and years and years with the same premi bhakta, and very little is happening. A lot is happening, but not perfection. Or the gopis may angrily say, Krishna, only great yogis endowed with profound intelligence are capable of meditating on your lotus feet. We are ignorant because you're telling, oh, listen to this Bhagavatattva Gyan, you should meditate on my feet and this and that. But that's, even great yogis are trying to do that. They're so intelligent. They can do it. But what are we? We are just simple, ignorant girls of the village. Well, we have chanchala. Our minds are very chanchala, like every young girl here or there, laughing, giggling. Our restless minds, it's impossible for us to capture our minds and fix them on your lotus feet. Or the gopis reveal their inner feelings to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, what to speak of meditating on your lotus feet? Now the mere memory, just thinking of your lotus feet, distresses us. We are afraid of your lotus feet, which are softer than a newly blossomed lotus. We are afraid of putting them on our hard breast. Yate sujata charanam buruhamstaneshu bitaschane priyadadi mahi karkasheshu tenatavim matasitad vyatate nakim swit kurpadi bir brahmatidir bhavadayusham nam. This is from Gopi Gita towards at the end, practically one of the last verses, verse 19, which is a slightly different raga than the other verses. And the gopis say, it's like, that sounds like Brahma Samhita, but the other ragas or chandas meter of the other verses is different, Gopi Gita. Gopis say, O Sham, a fear has arisen in our minds that your very soft lotus feet may be pained if we place them on our hard breasts. Our minds are agitated by this thought, as if tormented by a stinging scorpion. As Krishna's, the verse that's cited here at Kurukshetra when he met them in a lonely place, he said, you should meditate on me and place my lotus feet in your heart. And this way you'll never be separated from me. You'll always be with me. This is the way, this is the way you should have my darshan. So now the gopis say, start thinking, yes, your feet, but your feet are like this and your feet are like that. And they're replying to him. Different gopis are replying to him this suggestion and recommendation that they meditate on his feet. They say, we're too ignorant. You have to be really intelligent, be a big yogi to do that. And besides, I remember in Vrindavan, sometimes we would place your tired feet walking in the pastures or dancing in the Rasmandal. We would try to press your feet or massage your feet or hold them on our breasts while we're massaging them. And we know how soft your feet are. They're softer than butter. And we must have hurt your feet. And your feet are wandering in the pasturing grounds with so many dried seeds and thorns and pebbles. And we fear that they must be hurt. How do you walk on Govardhan Parikrama with your soft feet? You must be some pain there. So how can you bear the pain? Mother Sachi was saying the same thing to Gaurahari. When Gaurahari was proposing to take sannyas in Chaitanya Mangal, she was speaking with him on that evening. She said, how can you take sannyas? Your body, your feet are more tender than butter. And you have to walk the length and breadth of India doing Madhukari and doing Pravachan, and your feet will get so cracked, you'll get chilblains. This is a technical term. Cracked feet are called chilblains, I believe. Is that right? Cracked heels. Cracked heels, when the skin cracks on the heels from being too dry, it's called chilblains. Who will take care of your feet? And your feet are softer than butter. How can you torture yourself like this? Please stay here. Even Shachi was so worried about his feet. So the gopis are saying, oh Krishna, the 19 signs marked on your lotus feet, they have appeared on the screen of our hearts, reminding us of our previous pastimes in the Kali Kunjas. So this is, of course, part and parcel of the meditation of devotees. When they chant japa, sometimes they meditate. They have a drawing on the wall in front of them at eye level of the 19 marks, 11 marks on Krishna's right foot and 8 marks on his left foot, and Radharani's feet, also many similar marks. It's called charanchina, the marks on their feet, the symbols which indicate various leelas, indicate various qualities and powers and benefits of the Lord and his feet, and blessings and benedictions for the devotees who meditate thereupon. And gopis are recalling the feet. They say, yes, oh, now you've mentioned this word feet, and we should meditate on your feet. We've already been meditating on your feet for 50 years in your separation while you were in Mathura and Dwarka. What does a devotee do when he's separated from Krishna? He meditates on Krishna's feet. We're also devotees, we're aspiring devotees, and we certainly are separated from Krishna for 51 years or 31 years or 31 lifetimes or 51 lifetimes. Isn't it? And are we meditating? No, I hardly chanting, what to speak of Smaranam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Meditationam. Smaranam means meditation. Dhyan, Dhruvana, Smriti, Samadhi. Of course, there's 5 states of Smarana. But it basically means to deeply absorb ourselves in Nam, Rup, Guna, and Lila of Krishna. The Nam manifests as Rup. The Rup manifests as the qualities. And the qualities manifest in the dynamic expression of Lila. This is all produced from churning of the holy name in the purified heart. The gopis are chanting pure Nam, Prem Nam of Krishna, and they're meditating on the screen of their hearts. And that's what we do. On the screen of our hearts, we meditate and we see the ashtakona and we see the jambu fruits and we see the upcurving line and we see the curled flag and we see the blossoming lotus flower, we see the ankush, and we see the jeweled earring, and we see the fish, and we see all the marks on Krishna's feet, and we chant japa, and we know what we meditate and what they mean, and then we pray to those symbols, that those meanings and those pastimes can come in our heart. Gopis are doing the same thing. This is what it means to be gopi anugatya. E neva danadaro sakiranu gatyakaro. Oh, Tulsi Maharani, oh, Brinda Devi, I want to be Sakhi Anugatya, Gopi Anugatya, Manjari Anugatya, Anugatya, Anugati. I want to follow the path, I want to follow the way and the means and the process which leads to the goal, leads to the destination of the eternal service of the Mantris, Dasi, Anodasi, Anodasi. Anugatya means Anodasi. Dasi, Anodasi, Anodasi. I want to be a Dasi of the Dasi of the Dasi of Raghunath, excuse me, of Sri Rupa Manjari. And we pray to Vrindadeva, we pray to Gurudev, we pray to Rupa Goswami, we pray to Rati Manjari, please make me Anugatya. Guru Anugatya. Rupanuga, Rupanuga. Anuga means Rupa Goswami Anugatya. Rupanuga Vaishnava means Rupa Manjari Anugatya. Do you follow the footsteps, ways, meditations, practices of Sri Rupa Goswami and Sadaka and Sri Rupa Manjari and Antas Chinta Deha, a mentally conceived spiritual body? The gopis, they say, oh, you're telling us to meditate. Your lotus feet are already in our hearts. And we're thinking of the previous pastimes. The flag, the dwaj on your feet reminds us of your defeat by Radha in amorous sports, Kali Vilas. Whenever one king attacks another king's palace, then he defeats him, then he takes down his flag and coat of armor, whatever, his insignia, and he raises his flag. You must have heard the term, raise the victory flag. You must have heard that, you raise the victory flag. The flag of victory is called Jaya Dwaj. So I think one Prabhupada had one disciple named Jaya Dwaj. Jaya Dwaj means victory flag. Also the word pataka. Pataka means flag. You've heard of Jaya Pataka? I think so. Quite a famous Vaishnava devotee worldwide and amazing personality. Prabhupada's disciple. Jaya Pataka Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. So pataka, maybe Bengali, I don't know, but it also means flag. Because there's a word in Hindi called patang. Patang means butterfly. Patang. Isn't it? And they're always flying and flapping here and there, and like a flag. So Jaya Pataka. It's like patang. Pataka. The victory flag. And of course, that was an appropriate name for such a personality. He's waving the flag of victory of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Gaudiya Vaishnavism all over the world. Really all over. He's established the victory flag of Lord Chaitanya in Brazil and Chile and Australia and all over the world. Like what happens, these people go on expeditions for different countries and they climb Mount Everest. And what do they do when they get to the top of Mount Everest? They plant a flag. So the gopis, they say, yes, there's a flag on your feet. What does that mean? That means that Radharani's conquered you and raised her flag on your feet. When one king conquers another king, what does he do? He marches into the palace, he enslaves everyone in his service, and then he takes down that king's flag and raises his flag. And all the people in the villages surrounding the palace, they say, hey, look, there's a new flag. Must be a new king. So the flag on Krishna's feet is Radharani's victory flag, Radha Dwaj, Radhika Dwaj, Radha Pataka. And the gopis are thinking, yes, we're meditating at our feet. You see that flag. Yes, this is on the right foot of Krishna, this flag, this unfurled flag. This indicates Radharani's victory. Jai Shri, Jai Shri, Jai Shri. Radharani defeats Krishna in the dice game, Pashukela. And so many ways, of course, in Kali, and love sports and so many other things. So the gopis are, we're remembering your feet. You said that you would take her victory flag on your shoulder and wander here and there. The sign of the goat on your feet, this Ankush, control the elephant. I think that's also on the right foot. Krishna's right foot reminds us that Sri Radha, who is likened to a mahout, or elephant driver, brings such an intoxicated elephant as you under her control with her goad of prema. You yourself have admitted, Napariyeham niravadya samyujam. O gopis, I cannot repay you. So the elephant trainer or driver, he has a small metal rod. It's very short. It's only about 20 inches or 10 centimeters or so. 20 inches. 2.5 centimeters an inch or whatever. And it's about 22 centimeters or whatever it is. It's like about 2 feet long and has a little hook on the end, a point, and then it comes to a hook. That's called Ankush. And he uses the point to poke behind the ear of the elephant. And he uses the hook to hook him in a soft part of skin also there. And this way he controls the movement of the elephant by controlling his ears. This instrument is for control. An elephant is controlled through the ears. A bull is controlled through the nose. They put a ring through his nose. A horse is controlled through the mouth. And a man can't be controlled at all. Or a man can be controlled by a woman, which is predicted in 12th canto of Bhagavatam. It says, in the age of Kali, what does it say? Men will be controlled by women. It says that in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, predictions for the age of Kali. So, men are controlled by women. That means a woman prime minister in England, a woman prime minister in India. There's many men in India, and she's a prime minister, and she's controlling. So this is the way that gopis are saying, this Krishna's like a maddened elephant. Radharani's prema is like a goad, like an ankush, and she controls a maddened elephant of Krishna. I'll leave the gopis there, replying to Krishna's statement about I think he said the wrong thing. Sometimes we say in English that you put your foot in your mouth. So Krishna, he's telling the gopis, for all the reasons we mentioned, all their senses were eyes and darshan and all these things. That's one thing. When it comes to debate, remember the origin of speech and the origin of clever speech is a female named Saraswati. And she has a material expansion called Saraswati. And her original form is called Divya Saraswati, Narayan's wife. She's called Vak. Vak Devi or Vag City. Vagishvara or Vag Ishwari. Vag means Uvacha. The controller of speech, the controller of dialogue and speech is Saraswati. And Saraswati is an expansion of Radharani, Srimati Radharani. So when it comes to riddles and speeches and dialogue, Krishna always gets defeated by the gopis. So he's trying to preach to them and convince them by tatvigyan. The gopis are tying him up in knots. They're taking his very arguments and defeating him. So he's quite quiet at this juncture of the conversation.